This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Well, we're so glad that you're here this morning. It's been an awesome time of the year as we are winding down through the final days of January, and this is the last Sunday in January, and I just Lord put on my heart that I want to give you one final challenge. So before you quit all the goals that you've already set for your year, which we're about to do, I want to give you one last challenge that you shouldn't quit. I want to give you a goal that you need to hang in there with, that you can't quit on if you've already quit on the other one. The reality is so simple for us as a church and for you as an individual. We can't hide from the fact and the reality that God has an amazing plan for your life. If you haven't experienced that yet, I pray that you will, or at least the knowledge and the understanding that God has an amazing plan for your life. And I don't know if any of you remember. Some of you are too young to remember, but back in the day, there used to be this late night show called David Letterman, and he would always do these things called the top 10 list. The top 10 list for that week, and he would go through these lists and fun things. So I thought the best way to kick off this service, because we're going to talk about top 10, and the top 10, I came up with my own top 10 list, and I call it the top 10 commandments of driving etiquette. All right, so I'm going to help you out a little bit this morning. So you ready for this? Get your pen and paper ready. All right, here's the top 10 list for commandments for driving etiquette. Number 10, don't make awkward eye contact with the person next to you at the red light. It freaks you out. You ever had that happen? Or like if someone winks at you or something when you're really low? Okay, just keep looking forward. Even if they honk, don't even look. All right, so how about this one for Montana? Yield, don't stop at roundabouts. All right, so yield, don't stop at roundabouts. All right, this one is a practical one. Number 8, don't text and drive, okay? Don't do what I do, all right? Just don't text and drive. It helps us all out. Here's one I learned just coming home the other night from, I was going up ice fishing, and we were coming on the interstate, my son and I, and we couldn't figure that out because it was snowing like crazy. But here's number 7, don't drive with your hazards on in the snow, okay? It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help me, so don't do that. It's a good etiquette for you. Hey, here's number 6, wives, the imaginary brake does not work, all right? It does not work, all right? This is one I apply to my life, etiquette for driving. Tailgate people to make them go faster. It works for me, all right? Top 10 list. All right, here 4. This is just practical. Don't drive at night with your bright lights on. Anybody need help with that? Okay, don't drive with your bright lights on. We'll all understand this one. Top 10 etiquette, avoid reserve street at all costs, okay? All right, come on. Right, driving etiquette. I like this one. It's my favorite. If you have a CLC sticker on your car, don't cut people off. Okay? If you don't have one, you can cut them off. But if you have a CLC sticker on your car, don't cut them off. And then lastly, this is an amen one. Number 1, etiquette, don't drive slow in the fast lane. All right? Yeah, come on, right? That's what it's for. Don't drive slow in there. I'm helping you out a little bit. Driving etiquette, it's all you, right? How many know, I give you that top 10 list, but how many know that God created a top 10 list for your life? He created a top 10 list for your life written 3,500 years ago, which still applies to your life today. Literally handed down from God to Moses. And we hear about these things called the Ten Commandments. And sometimes the thought wants to come into our minds, well, that was for a different time. Those were for a different day. And these top 10 that God gave us, how many know they can't be voted on? We can't create a census and get together whether we agree with them or not. They were God's plan, God's top 10. And the reality is for us in our Christian world is that many of Christians in today, it's proven, don't even know what God's top 10 list is. Like, they don't even know the Ten Commandments. In fact, they did a study and they said only 14% of Americans know the Ten Commandments by heart. Only 14% know the Ten Commandments by heart. And this is a problem because we can't obey something we don't know. Like, how do we obey it? Like, how do we live our lives for something if we don't even know what they are and how we're being asked to live? Another stat that is really interesting to me is that while only 14%, true stat, that while only 14% of Americans know the Ten Commandments, 25% of Americans know all 7 ingredients on the Big Mac. True stat. 25% of Americans know all seven ingredients on the Big Mac, but only 14% of Americans can tell you the Ten Commandments. If you know the background, right, like God's people, the Israelites, are in slavery and they're in Egypt. They've been there for over 400 years. And God raises up this deliverer by the name of Moses. And he goes and he tells him, go tell them, let my people go. And they're finally released out of bondage, out of slavery. They go to the Red Sea. You know the story. The Red Sea's parted, this miraculous. And they go into the wilderness, which is where something significant is starting to happen. Because it's in the wilderness that God begins to create a people that would love him and honor him. And these people would be the same people that we'd see Jesus come from. And this was all part of God's plan to create these followers and then implement these laws and these commandments that they would follow so that they could be the people that honor him and love him and walk with him. So Moses gives them this at the top of Mount Sinai. He encounters God, and God gives him these things that we know today as called the Ten Commandments. And the point is so crucial because these commandments are the foundation for everything we do as Christians. Not only are they the foundational for us as Christians, but they literally are the foundation to our society. The moral code of the Western society has been built on the Ten Commandments. They are foundational to the values by which we live our life with. It's been said literally that there have been 32 billion laws created on planet Earth. 32 billion laws created on planet Earth. And yet none of them compare to the weight or the importance of these Ten Commandments given by God. Exodus 20 outlines it for you, and I thought I would just share them with you today. When we look about the Ten Commandments, maybe you've read it before, but Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says this, "And God spoke all these words, and he says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And he gives them the very first one, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But look at verse 6, but showing love to 1,000 generation of those who love me and keep my commands. Like you want to see your children and your grandchildren blessed, keep God's commands. That's what he's saying to us. He goes on in verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He goes on, he says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Ten Commandments, there they are outlined before you. Here's some important facts, three important facts about the Ten Commandments. Facts. Number one, the commandments are from God. They're not my idea. They're not the state or the government's idea. They're not some religious person's idea. They're not even Moses' idea. Exodus 20 tells us right at the beginning, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. The God that saved us implemented these commandments. So the wisest man that ever lived was this guy by the name of Solomon. And Solomon summed up his entire life and what life is all about with this one phrase. He said this in Ecclesiastes, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Like, you want to make your life about something? You want your life to really matter? Then make it first and foremost about keeping God's commands. Here's another fact about the Ten Commandments. How about you know this? The commandments are relevant today. The commandments are relevant today. They were written 3,500 to 4,000 years ago, but they are just as crucial today and relevant today as they were back then. Like, they cannot be removed from your life as just some Old Testament idea, just something that was written so far ago that doesn't apply to me today. Like Romans 2 actually tells us that all the laws are written on our hearts. Like they connect with today. In fact, I wrote this down if you're taking notes. I believe this, the Ten Commandments are not obsolete, they are absolute. They're not obsolete, they are absolute. They are things that we need for our lives today. And then the last fact is simply this, the commandments are crucial for blessed relationships. They're crucial for blessed relationships. Everybody wants blessed relationships. Hopefully you want a blessed relationship with God. Most all of us are created to want blessed relationship with people. And then to have all those things, we have to understand that there's a standard. There's a standard to have those blessings in your life. Now, I've heard it said many times, maybe you have too, this one statement, right? Christianity is not about rules, it's about relationship. Christianity is not about rules, it's about relationship. And I would say to you, that is the dumbest statement you can make. It just doesn't make sense. Because while it is about relationship, you have to also understand that every healthy relationship has rules. Like if you go home and your spouse says, hey, honey, welcome home. I'm glad you're here. By the way, so-and-so from the office called, and I'm going to go hang out with them tonight and spend the night. I'll see you tomorrow. How many would go, no? No, that's not going to happen. Because there's rules to do marriage right. Like when you're in school, like how many know you had a relationship, like that you're going to get, the relationship is you're going to get a diploma. But there was rules to that getting that diploma. Like you had to turn in your assignments. You can't cheat. You had to go to class. Like your job relationship, you show up. You follow your job description. It's the rules. But how do you know the relationship is you get paid, right? And it's the same with God. Like he puts these rules in place that make a healthy relationship with him so that we thrive in him. It's even like traffic laws. Like we hate traffic laws, right? We don't like them. Nobody likes them. I remember back east before I came to Montana, everyone said, oh, Montana, they don't have traffic laws. They're like, you can drive as fast as you want in Montana. I lived here 3 years, already had 2 tickets. I spent 20 years without a traffic ticket until I moved to Montana. Go figure. But whether we like it or not, they exist. And we're all safer because of them. I wrote down this way, hear me. I believe God's commandments weren't put in place to create a prison for our lives, but to create protection for our lives. And I want us to embrace the protection of God for your life. And you embrace that protection by embracing his commands. One of the greatest psalms, it kicks it right off. Psalms 1 says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Listen, I can't speak for you, but I want my life to be blessed. I want to live a blessed life. But the psalmist is telling us, you will live a life blessed if you don't do it your way. In fact, if you change your whole thinking and say, well, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. And this is how we do things God's way. The psalmist goes on to write, how do you do it God's way? But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night, those are the ones that are blessed. That you delight in the law of the Lord. He makes this connection. A blessed life is one that enjoys, who thrives in the law of God. It's like God saying, us, you and I saying, God, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to live your way. I'm going to follow your way. And by doing all those things, God, you are going to bless my life. And my prayer for our church and my prayer for you this year as an individual is that you and I would create an appetite, that literally we would create a hunger to want to do life God's way, the way that he has for us, that serving God, we would see that serving God is not a burden, but that serving God is a blessing to my life. Because I believe God wants to lead you to all so many things that he has for your life, but it comes by you and I saying, listen, I want to do it your way, God, and not my own. I love the intentionality that God gave when he gave us the Ten Commandments. There was intentionality behind it. And it's so important that you see this. Because if you see it this way, he takes the first four commandments in the Bible, and you can see it on the screen, and he says they're all about our relationship with God. He takes the first four and he categorizes it, says, hey, listen, the very first things in these commandments are about having a relationship with him. Things like, you know, hey, no other God before me, not worship an idol, don't misuse the Lord's name, honor the Sabbath. So he starts them all out about a relationship with him. And then he shifts the final six and he makes it about our relationship with people. They're all categorized about how you have your relationship with God and how you have your relationship with people, like honor your parents, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, all these other things. And it's so, isn't it interesting that when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment, what did he say? Love the Lord your God and love others. Like he's from the very beginning, it's been summed up that our relationship with God is about loving him and loving others. He took all the commandments into two categories that are so important about our relationship with God and our relationship with others. So the overarching theme for us as a church and for you as a Christian is really summed up in 1 John. And he said this, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. Listen, guys, listen, following God is not about shame. It's not about condemnation. It's not about duty. It's not about job. It's a joy to follow God. It should be a joy to follow him. It should be assurance to your life that you are in step with him. It's hope that I can live out my life as he has called me to live. I wrote it down this way. The goal of the Christian life is not legalism. It's love. And the more you love, the greater you will obey. And so my desire is that this year you would love God more than you've ever have before. And some of you say, well, how do I love God more than I ever have before? Trust me, you can love God more than you ever have before. To love him more than you ever have before. And the way we do that is we follow his commands. Which leads me to this final January challenge I want to give you on this final day, this final Sunday of January for your life. And I set all this thing in motion to really give you this one thought when we set up the Ten Commandments, because it's paramount to all the other nine that was given to us. And I want to challenge Christian Life Center this year with this one simple thought. As you move forward this year, can we just agree together that we would be God first? God first. Like if you could desire anything for your life, or if you could have a phrase set over your life, I would love for it to be described by this way: my life is a God first life, a God first life. Like my legacy, I wanted to be Heath was a God first person. Before everything else, God took precedent. God was the focus. In fact, even in the New Testament, they give this ascription to Jesus, and they talked about the preeminence of Christ, which simply means this, that Christ was before all, above all. He should be worshiped more than all. That's what it means, that it is all about God. And that was the very first commandment that was given to us, because that one commandment sets everything else in motion. That one commandment to put God first, it puts everything in order in your life. It puts everything in motion. Exodus 20 said it to it very clear: you shall have no other gods before me. And how many know the key phrase is before me? There is nothing else. It is him and him alone that we worship and that we live for, before anything else. And it's so important, because the Israelite people that we talked about, they were in slavery. 400 plus years, they're in slavery. And now they're being released from Egypt. And the one thing, over those 400 years, they set in Egypt that was ruled and worshipped in what we call a polytheistic culture. A polytheistic culture simply means multiple God culture. There was multiple gods in the culture that they were raised in. And God was reminding them right from the beginning, it's not many gods, it's not multiple gods, it's one God. I write it down this way: the first commandment that he's given to us, set in order, is an invitation into reality. Here's the reality for all of us this morning: there is only one God. And that's what he was setting in motion. There is only one God. There is only one, capital G-O-D, right? One God that deserves to be worshiped and who's worthy for you to submit your life to. One God. And it's important that we evaluate this idea in our lives of one God, because it's easy for you to sit here this morning and say, you know, Pastor, we're not living in a polytheistic culture. Like, we're not going to temples. Like, we aren't having different festivals for different gods. And I would say to you, it might not look polytheistic, but I think we are more polytheistic than you think we are. I look at the way we follow and what we follow on social media. Look at the gods we make out of people. Look how we view celebrities and politicians. The god-like dependence we put on our spouses and our friendships and our relationships. The dependency we put on the American dream and on our money and on our personal passions and desires. Like the way we live through our children and the expectations we place on them. The value we place on self. Like, we've made things gods in our lives. And the correction that I pray that we make this year moving forward is to declare as people and as a church, no, there should be only one God that our life is all about. One God. Moses said it this way in Exodus 34. He says, "Do not worship any other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Now, isn't it interesting that he uses the word jealousy or jealous? Because jealous in our culture is about, we've made it about pettiness. Or, well, I just can't believe you're jealous. You're just acting jealous. You know, we've made it a very negative, petty type of word and feeling. But here's what jealousy means in that context. The word jealous used here by Moses is the same word that also means ownership. So God is a jealous God because he is our owner. He's our owner. Like, we do not belong to ourselves. We do not belong to this world. We belong to him. And as the owner, guess what? He knows what's best for our lives. He owns you. He knows what's best for you. And as a jealous God, he's like, hey, listen, no, wait, stop, people. Listen. I've got good plans for you. I've got good things for your life. Don't go after all these other gods. Don't put your hope and trust in all these other gods who can't satisfy and who definitely can't save you or empower you. And God's reminding us in 2025, run to me, because in me, you're going to find all life. And you're going to find all purpose and all hope. And so his jealousy is about putting him first, knowing that when we put God first, everything else adds up. Everything else falls into place. So here's the questions this morning. As I want to give you some real practical questions to evaluate if our lives are God first lives. Things you can do throughout this year, every day. Questions you can ask yourself to say, God, are you my priority? Am I putting you first? Here's the first question. What is my priority? What is my priority? What takes precedent in my life? Like, what is of importance to me and to my life? Because we all have multiple things that are competing for priority in our life. And I want to challenge you to strive to live a God-first priority life this year. Like, in my life, it's God first. I want to make him first. And then I start prioritizing everything else. For me personally, like, it's God first and family second. And that's a big priority for my personal life. But it's tough at times to keep family second, because I have other priorities. Like probably a higher priority for me is ministry. Like, it's another high priority for my life, and it wants to compete because I love what I do. I love the church. I love some of you. I love all of you, right? How could you not love all of you, right? I love all of you. I love to speak. I love our team that I get to work with. And when I love those things so much, it fights with the priorities that are in front of it. Like, for me, it's my family. So I'm going to have to make sure that I'm intentionally choosing my family over ministry. Like, I remember when I was young in ministry and we started having kids and we were seeing success in ministry, right? And I'm like, I'm just driven. I'm thankful that I had a wife who allows me to succeed. But I was finding myself missing things, like missing for ministry. I'm missing family things so that I can be successful in ministry. And finally, we came to that agreement and said, you know, that's not healthy. And so we decided as a family, we do ministry together. So whether they liked it or not, the kids traveled with us. They went to ministry outlets, speaking things, but it worked out for them. Like I'm running camps all summer long, running youth camps, and my kids loved it because they could go to the snack shack. They had all the fun things, and they could order whatever they want and say, put it on my dad's tab. And my son lived on milkshakes all summer long. Like, I got the tab, and it's like thousands of dollars in milkshakes. I'm like, what is going on here? But we decided to do ministry together. It's important we have intentional priorities, but it's also crucial that we live with God the same way. Because if he is the number one priority, he should be the number one priority, and there will always be competing priorities with him. And I want to come in, and I don't want us to come in and try to reason with God. And this is what we do, guys. We do it all the time. We reason. Well, God understands. It's okay. Like, God gets it. He knows that all these things are important to me. Here's the most overused scripture verse. God understands the desires of my heart. Baloney. He should be the desire of your heart. And everything else comes into place. And yet I just want to challenge you as a church this year, don't allow the enemy to give you a casual view of a jealous God. That's what he wants to do. Just give you this casual view of a jealous God. I wrote down this way, like, right? I get it. Most gods are not bad things. They are good things that are wrongly prioritized. Not everything is wrong. You're sitting there saying, Pastor, so mean. No, not everything. Some things are really good things. They're just put in the wrong category. They're just prioritized wrong. Like, you can make a God out of your family, out of your hobbies, out of your career. You can make a God out of your relationships, out of your stuff, out of your aspirations. Not bad things. They're all good things, but they're not greater than your God. So I want to give you quickly this morning how to determine your top priorities. Here's some questions you can ask yourself every day to say, what are my priorities? Here they are. Here's a couple. What do you get most excited about? It's a great question to ask yourself. What do I get most excited about? Another way to determine is this. What's the first thing you think about in the morning? Most likely, if it's the first thing you think about, it's most likely the God in your life. What do you dream about is another question to ask. What do you dream about? This one's very clear, but what do you spend your most money on? Right? Show me your bank statement and I'll show you what your God is. I love this one. What do you scheme about? In other words, what are you planning? What are your plans? What are you putting together? What do you scheme about? It's a great question. And then the other one is, what are you passionate about? Like, you look at this list, and whatever is at top will reveal the God in your life. And our God says to us, have no other gods before me. Nothing before me. You've heard the famous scripture, right? Proverbs 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We're all like, yes, I want that. I do. God, I do trust in you. And yes, I want that for my life. But I don't understand. He goes on. He says, okay, you have all that. But then he tells us a statement. He goes, okay, all right, you want to trust me? Well, then all your ways submit to me. Oh, wait. Okay, I like the trust part. The submit part? Oh, man, I don't submit to nobody. I'm an American, by God, right? I'll submit to nobody. No, he says submit to him, right? You know what that submit means? God first life. God first life. And then he goes on, when you do the God first life, because you did that, because you submit to him, what does he say? He'll make your path straight. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. Like, don't try to figure your path out on your own. You submit to God. You get your priorities right, and your path will follow. It'll follow you. Here's what I know, right? Just simply said, when God is first, the rest of my life is blessed. When God is first, the rest of my life is blessed. And my life is just better when God is first, when he is the priority. Here's the next evaluation question we need to ask ourselves. What do I worship? What do I worship? Everybody worships something. Every one of us has something there's something that has our heart. There's something that has our attention. Because the reality is we were created to worship. It's natural. That's the way we were created. And so that's why we're all prone to get excited about random things, right? Like before I got married in college, I was in college, I was single, I hadn't got married yet. So I'm thinking, this is going to be my lot in life. I'm going to start ministry out as a single guy. So what does every single guy want? I wanted a dog. So I thought, you know, I'm going to be single and I should have man's best friend, a companion to hang out with me. And so I always wanted a German Shepherd. And I thought, well, this would be really manly. You know, German Shepherds are manly dogs. And so I want this German Shepherd. And so I found this lady in my town that was selling German Shepherds. So I went over to her house, and literally when you pulled on the property, there's a big sign that says German Shepherds sold here, right? And you drive in a little further, and she even had one of those like yellow sign, diamond signs, you know, that said Shepherds Crossing, you know, here and all this stuff. You know, it was crazy. Literally, not kidding. You go into the driveway, up all the leading all the way to the door, in the cement were little paw prints throughout the whole cement. Leading up to the door of the house. I went up to the door. The door knocker is in the face of a German Shepherd that you knock on the door, right? It was crazy. The lady opened the door, and you know how owners of dogs start to look like their dogs? She looked like a... And you know she sold Shepherds. She had a big T-shirt on, I love German Shepherds. And even holding a coffee mug with German Shepherds all over the coffee mug, like they walked through the house and it was loaded with German Shepherd figurines and pictures everywhere. I'm like, this lady really loves German Shepherd. It's her life. And that's how I met my wife, Kim. And No, I'm just kidding. She wasn't a part of that at all. I promise. No, I'm just kidding. And I didn't buy the Shepherd, by the way. My wife's like, you should tell him you didn't buy the Shepherd. No, I did buy the Shepherd. Right? I got married. That's my Shepherd. So, but everybody is worshiping something, right? Everybody worships something. Everybody has something that their life is about. And you maybe have read this story of the Israelites leaving Egypt. But you know, there really is only one reason that God saved them from Egypt. I'll prove it to you. One reason that God saved them from Egypt. Look what Exodus 8 says. The Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. The reason that you were saved by grace is so that you can worship God. Is that you can worship him. Worship means to ascribe worth, to ascribe value. It's us making it all about him. It's all for him. Your life was created for God, right? And here's what I wrote down. Great thought if you're taking notes. Get this morning. I wrote down this way. Other things can get my attention, but only God deserves my worship. Other things can have my attention, but only God deserves my worship. My kids get my attention, but I don't worship them. My spouse gets my attention, but not my worship. My aspirations get my attention, but not my worship. My financial stability is important. It should get your attention. It should never be what you worship. Your stuff can have your attention, but never your worship. Your plans need your attention, but God gets your worship. Our worship matters. Let me encourage you today quickly with this. How do we worship here at Christian Life Center? How can you worship? Let me tell you how you can worship this morning. You worship God with our time. You worship God with our time. Like giving God your time is an act of worship. You came to church this morning. You got up. You braved the cold. You walked across the big parking lot. Like you are worshiping God. You're giving him your time. You all know the most valuable asset you have is your time. And you giving it to God, that's worship. And I just know for me, when I carve out time for God, it makes the rest of my week, makes the rest of my day, the rest of my month, the rest of my year better. When you just carve that time out for God, it's worship. You know how else we worship God? We worship God with our talent. Like talent is using your gifts for the glory of God. And I'm so thankful for those who serve on Sunday and serve on Wednesdays and throughout the week. And you may sit here this morning and say, I have no talent. And I'm like, maybe, but we'll teach you a talent. We'll find a talent for you. This is a place for you to find your talent. Using your gifts for the glory of God is an act of worship. And let me just say this morning. The person working these cameras, or the person who's holding those babies, The person who's making coffee in the morning, the person smiling at you when you walk through these doors, none of them are more important or less important than what I'm called to do. Every person, no matter what they do, is as important as the other. I'm just using my talent for the glory of God, and they're using their talents for the glory of God, and together we're going to change the world in Jesus' name. That's what it's about. Using your gifts and your talents for God, every person together. And the other way we worship God, the last one is simply this: we worship God with our treasure. With our treasure. We honor God with our finances. Like, Pastor, why do we keep talking about money? You know why? Because the Bible is full of talking about money. You know why? Because God knew that money would be a god in our lives. And we honor him with our treasure. We say, God, you are first with my finances. When you get paid, it's an act of worship when you give that tithe to God. And I'm so thankful for those of you in our room who have embraced tithing, because it's a moment for you to say, God, you're going to be a priority. You're going to be first in my life, and the rest of my life will be blessed because of it, because I honor you that way. Let me give you the last question to evaluate this year. Is God first? Am I living a God first life? And the last question you ask yourself is simply this: what do I love? What do I love? We love a lot of things, right? We love the Chiefs. We love the Grizz. We love the Bobcats. We love clothes. We love shopping. We love food. We love some of our kids. We love. But my question this morning is, do you love God? Do you love God? And I know you're like, well, I want him first in my life. And we make that proclamation. Yes, I want him first in my life. But hear me this morning. In order for God to be first in your life, he has to be first in your heart. Because out of your heart, everything springs. And love is an interesting thing, because we love everything, right? We love the Lord. We love our church. We love pizza. We love it all. It's a very easy word to throw around. Well, I love that. I love that. I love you. I love this. But the first commandment, Jesus gave it to us in the Gospel of Mark. He says, love the Lord your God. It was at the top. And not just love him, but love him. Love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And I know we can't just wake up and say, okay, I got it. I'm going to do it. I got this. I'm going to love him. Here's how we love God more. I'm just going to love him. It's work. But here's how we love God more. I'll put it on the screen. The best way to love God is to know God. And the only way to know God is to learn about him. So we get into his word this year. We show up. We engage. Like, we pray. We worship. And as we do these things, we start to see God more and more. We start to see his nature more and more. Then you start to see him answer your prayers and do miracles in your life. You start to hear him speak more and more to you, and he becomes clearer and clearer. And all the while, all this is happening, guess what? You fall more in love with him. You start to realize, you know what? God is good. You start to realize, man, this God is really awesome. It's worth all this. Like, you can't just decide, hey, I'm just going to love God more. Boom, and it happens. No, that's not how it happens. In fact, 1 John tells us how it happens. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved. It becomes more of a reality how much God really loves you. You start to become more aware, man, God really, really loves me. And the more you realize how much he loves you, the greater our love grows for him. And I wrote this way: putting God first becomes easy when it's a response to God's love. It just becomes easier. The more I realize he loves me, the more easier it is to respond to him. The more easier it is to put him first. The more easy it is to keep his commands. Like, it's hard when you're trying to do this on your own efforts. It's hard when you're just trying to live life and try to honor him on your own. But when you just submit and say, I'm just going to put God first, it just seems to become easier. When you realize how much God loves you, it's easy to say, hey, God, here it is. I give it all to you. It's all you. It all belongs to you. I give it to you. And hear me today, 2025, I just believe it's the only way to be a successful church, and the only way for you to be a successful Christian The only way to obey his commands is to fall more and more in love with him. Just fall more and more in love with him. Because his ways are so good. They're so much better than ours. Our one God is so much better than our many gods. I remember a few years ago, I kind of got in this rut in my personal walk with Jesus, right? I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. Just kind of got in this rut. I'm in this rut. And, you know, you have good seasons and you have tough seasons. It's just the way faith goes sometimes. And I would just encourage all of you in the room, don't let anyone ever say to you, hey, I've never had a season. My walk with God has been perfect all the time. Don't let anybody tell you that. My walk with God, we're just always hand in hand, heaven in heaven, right? If they're telling you that, they're lying to you, right? Like if they come up to you and say, I just love Leviticus, you know? Listen, Moses didn't even love Leviticus, right? So if they're telling you, but you're just in a place of trying to figure things out. I was in that place. Like, God, are you silent? Like, do you have the next for my life? And my worship time was in a rut. My devotion time was in a rut. And we all have those moments. And I remember asking Kim, I remember saying, can I just take a day or so? And can I just take a personal retreat, a prayer retreat, just get away? And I remember going to this place in the middle of nowhere. In this house and just locking myself away by myself, which is really tough for me because I don't like to be by myself. And I'm in this room and I'll never forget just lying on the floor on my face and saying these words to God. I remember saying, God, I have no other agenda. I have no other agenda but to leave this room loving you more than I ever have before. No other agenda. I just want to love you more. And it marked me, church. Like, it marked me. It was memorable. I still remember it today. To this day, it had marked me. I walked away. I remember going back to our team, and they're like, Pastor, you had a prayer retreat. What did God speak to you? What's the new big idea for us? And the big idea that I said, here's the big idea. Let's just love Jesus more than we ever have before. Let's just love Jesus more. And it still carries with me today because I believe this. If I just love Jesus more, if I just make God first, everything else finds its way. Everything else comes into play. I just got to love God more. Just got to love him more. And if I love him more, everything else seems to have a way of working itself out. Hear me. The disciplines and the duties of following God are easy when you delight in him. When you love him, the disciplines and the duties of following God are easier when you just love him, when you delight in him. But when you don't delight in him, the duties and the disciplines, they become work. They become burning you out. I had Patrick bring this plan up today. You're probably like, why is this here? And because I saw this and it was such a reminder, it's an aha moment that this really is a representation of how God created you and me. Like there's the natural course that God puts together in our lives, but it's all tied to God first. Because if I take this plant, man, and I give it the proper sunlight, and I water it properly, put it in the right temperature. As it grows, I change the pot so that it has more room to grow. I give it the care that it needs, the fertilizer, the soil. I give it all those things. Guess what it does? It flourishes. In other words, when I make it a priority to care for this thing, when I make it a priority to give it all that it needs, to put it first, it flourishes. But how many of you know when I remove it from the sunlight, when I'm negligent in watering and caring for it, if I decide, well, it's good in the pot that it's in, if I just take it a different, just don't make it a priority, guess what ended up happening to the plant? It withers, it wilts, and it dies. And I'm just saying to you today, we put God first in our lives, we make him a priority, this is what's happened. We flourish. We grow. We have life. You don't have a care in the world. God is looking out for you. But when we start to remove the priority of God in our lives, we might have some life to us, but it doesn't look real great. And people walk around you and say, do they want that or do they want the withered you? Well, that's the God you serve? Yeah, sign me up for that. But boy, when we flourish and we have life, when he's a priority, the world says, I want what you've got. How do you have all that? Because God is a priority in my life. And when you priority him this year, I promise you, you're going to flourish. You're going to thrive and you're going to grow. And I just want us today, this year, to make that God first moment to love Jesus wanted to be first in your life this year. Some of you sit in this room today with so many questions, just needing answers for your life, for your direction, for what you should do, where you should go, decisions you need to make. What does tomorrow bring? And I'm just saying to you, man, if you make God first, you'll have all the answers you need. It might not be the answer you want, but it'll be the answers that you need. Would you stand with me this morning? And I'm going to ask you if you feel comfortable in the room. I think that if you feel comfortable in the room, maybe just put a hand over your heart. For out of your heart springs everything. And I'm going to say this prayer over you, and I'm praying that you pray the same prayer as your hand is over your heart, as a demonstration that it all starts right here. And here's the prayer this morning. God, my prayer for you, and maybe the prayer you pray, God, let my heart burn for you. Let my heart burn for you. Let it desire you. Let it want and desire more of you than anything else in my life. God, search me and know me. Create in me a clean heart, a prioritized heart, a heart that puts God first, a heart that says, God, I want my life to emulate you. Lord, a heart that delights in your commands, a heart that delights in serving you. Our prayer this morning for everyone in this room is that we would simply say, God, I need you more than ever before. Here's my heart. I give it to you. Let's worship him today. Your prayer this morning. I don't want anything else because you are my one thing. Is that your prayer this morning? That God, you'd be a priority. I don't want anything else. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Lord, we just ask for you. Lord, knowing today that God, when you are first, when you are a God first life, Lord, everything else just falls into place. Some of us in this room, we just have things out of place. Priorities are messed up. They're out of place. And we need to kind of reorganize it today. We need to allow you to spiritually come in and organize our life. Lord, we don't always have the answers to that. But the one answer today is this. If we put God first, everything else will find its place. So help us to be that church today that says, God, we're gonna put you first. We're going to prioritize you. And as we prioritize you, God, all those other things will come into place, that obeying you and following you doesn't become a task. Doesn't become a have to. But God, it becomes a delight. That we actually find joy in following you, in serving you, in obeying you. So we continue to pray that over your people today, that God, we would see the miraculous, that we'd see the supernatural, and that God, we know that it will happen when a group of people come together and say, we want to make God first. We want to live God first life. We want to be a God first church and allow you, Lord, to move, to speak, to do the amazing things in our lives. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I want to close with this. If you're in the room today, your God first moment begins by saying, I need to make God first. I need to make him a priority in my life. I'm out of sync with God. I'm out of step. He's not the Lord of my life. And I want to make him Lord of my life today. If you're in that room and you fit that category and you want to change your life today, their heads bowed and our eyes closed just between you and God. But I want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you today, I want you to just throw your hand up real quick. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. This is your opportunity. Everywhere. Thank you. Hands everywhere. Lord, we come before you today, humbled as a church, as people, and we say, God, we want to make you first. We want to prioritize you in our lives. And if you're in the room and you're like, man, my life is out of whack, my priorities are out of order, I need to make God first. If that was you, maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't. Right there where you're standing, it's just simply saying, Lord, I want you to be first. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Would you be first? Help me, Lord, to serve you. Lord, would you forgive us all, and would you humble us today? Make us, Lord Father, make us aware that you are the one God that loves us, that cares for us, has good plans for us, desires, Lord, not to harm us, but to give us a future. And ultimately, we get to spend eternity with you. Make us a God-first church today. Meet our needs, I pray. And so, Lord, I pray blessings upon your people today. Lord, may your face truly shine upon them. May we do the right things so that we can flourish. May we do all the things that you required of us so that we can flourish, and that we can see you in these last days do all that you have intended to do. So we love you. Again, may we go out of this place proclaiming that you are God and that you are first. We honor you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, come on, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up to the Lord today. Amen. Before you take off this morning, I want to say this. We have a prayer corner over here. If you need prayer today, anything you need prayer for, maybe you gave your heart to the Lord and you need to just let someone know, this prayer team's here to pray for you. We hope to see you Wednesday night, start of Grow You, young adults tonight here at the church. God bless you. Have a great week ahead.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.